Yes. We'll go ahead and kind of start, and I'll start over here with you. Say your name, when you were born, and where. And that'll be your identifier on the tape.
Betty Stevens. I was born in 1924 in a dugout 4.5 miles east of Tyrone.
Okay.
Do you want our maiden name, too?
If you want to give it to us.
I think that's interesting.
Mine was Seward.
Seward, S-E-W-A-R-D?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm Thelma Hal Murphy, and I was born in Pratt County, Kansas. I came here when I was 9 months old. I was born in 1916.
Okay.
And I'm Mildred Howell Geist, and I was born 5 miles south of Tyrone in 1918. It's my understanding I was born in a granary.
I think you were.
I think we were. They were building a house and didn't have it quite ready.
That's what we lived in.
Well, it was a granary instead of a barn.
Half a barn.
It was just half a barn.
Livable, too.
Huh, we're going to come back to that in just a second, as soon as everyone's introduced.
Evelyn Harold Witzke. And I was born February the 3rd, 1929, in my grandmother's house here in Hooker, Oklahoma.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's where I went from. Went to high school from.
And you're the last one.
I'm Bessie Hampston Harold. H-A-M-P-S-T-E-N.
Okay.
And I was born 3 north and 2.5 west of Hooker.
In what year?
April 20th, 1907. You know when Oklahoma became a state?
Yep. You must have been
my brother, younger than me, said, well, I wasn't an American. I wasn't born in the United States.
No man's land.
He was born in the United States, but not a state.
he was born in 14, but he's gone.
Well, let's start with what we usually like to do is start really general and have people tell us about, you know, a typical day or the house where they live. But I think we're going to start with being born in a granary. So, do you remember how long were you guys living in the granary? Or how long did the family live there?
Let's see. You came out in 17?
16.
And I was born in 18. And so it had been about 8. Let's see, you were 9 months old when you came out 16. Anyway,
well, it was probably 1917 when
I think
came,
it was because
it was born in 1916.
See, there's 18 months difference in us.
Okay.
But that granary is still there, and my brother Bob lives on the place now. And I told him, I said, I wouldn't want to have to go clean out that granary. It's got gobs of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Mementos.
Souvenirs. But no, and then of course the folks were in the process of building the house, and I'm not just for sure. I was showing Thelma today, I have the book. Dad used to keep a journal.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I looked it up, and I got the year when I was born, when we went through the estate, and the year after. And all he put down when my birthday, which was in June, that's always the busiest time of the year, was Mildred Alice Howell, born such and such, June the 16th, cut week.
I got more attention than you did when I was born.
That's right. But anyway.
My sisters.
At least they had time to write it down.
Yeah, Dad wrote it down. And we really had good parents. We really did.
So I can tell you guys grew up in a rural setting on a farm.
Sure, yes.
What about you? What was your house like when you were little?
Well, I was born in a dugout, and my mother died when I was 5, so we moved across the line into Oklahoma. I was born in Kansas, but we moved across the road, and I lived with my grandparents and my dad. It was just my grandparents, my dad, and I. I have 4 older siblings, but there's 13 years difference.
Oh, wow.
And my dad worked on the WPA to help us get through the 30s. That mm-hmm. My mother died in 1930, so it was just the start of the Depression.
What did your dad do for the WPA?
He took his horses and Fresnel and mm-hmm. helped build roads.
Like your daddy. Mm-hmm.
So did Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped build the fence around the fairground at Liberal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still standing. Mm-hmm. The Second Street Road is what he worked on.
I often thought we were the beginning of the WPA because when I was a freshman in high school, we started the soup kitchen for the school. Mm-hmm. And we, the home economics class, served soup.
We cooked the meal.
We cooked soup every day for the whole school.
And the janitor
and the
served.
And what was real interesting, the year after I graduated from high school, they hired fellas that worked on the WPA to start cooking the
that.
Soup.
I was over here in the third grade. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We had potato soup running out of ears, didn't we?
It took me a long time to like soup again. But what was really funny, you know, people would send in chickens and things.
We took chickens.
Sometimes we had to dress them. Once in a while they dressed them and sent them in. But one day we always made two great big pots. And this one kettle just kept boiling over and boiling over and boiling over. And we noticed that the bowls kept coming back nearly full. And when we got down to the bottom of that pot that day, there was a bar of soap in the bottom.
Oh, my God. No wonder it boiled over.
I wonder nobody wanted to eat it.
And you know when you use that brown bar of soap?
Homemade, probably.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
So it took me a long time to like soup.
It was healthy anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
With that lye in it, I don't think so.
No, not with that. But you didn't get enough of that.
Well, they didn't eat much.
It wasn't a good soup day.
No, a good soup day.
Well, what was the house where you were raised like? What or where you first lived?
Well, my father came in June in 1905 and built a two-room house with an attic, I guess, with upstairs. And then the family didn't come until December, and they brought an immigrant car from Illinois. And my mother's sister and parents all came in December, and they lived at my grandparents and aunt and uncle and two boys, and those two children with my grandparents too lived in the tent here in Hooker that winter until they got a house. And how 8 people could live in a tent and keep warm in the wintertime.
They probably huddled a lot.
Yeah,
close community.
Stick together.
Had their beds to keep warm in, I guess. But the house. And my mother was alone when I was born, except the older children were upstairs, and it was at night, and my father had hooked the horses up to go get the neighbor woman to help, and I arrived before they did back, and Mama said, so, well, me crying would wake the other children up, and she didn't know what, but I guess I didn't, but anyway, I survived. And we did live there till my brother, 3 years later than me. But then it was a dry year, and my father had plenty of moisture to grow things in Illinois. But he traded our homestead sight unseen for 80 acres in West Plains, Missouri. And we moved down there by train. And it was a sort of they raised vegetables and fruits.
Yeah.
But he decided by December that it wasn't the place, and he came to Woodard County then and bought land down there. And then, but we were gone from here 2 years. We left in March and we come back in March 1913. And it took, I've got pictures of us in our covered wagon, and it took us 7 days to come from Woodward County to here.
Wow.
With it was a brother younger than me that made 7 children, and my mother and father, and we had 2 wagons, the covered wagon and then a wagon with other household things, I guess, and a cow and chickens, and we had milk every day and had some eggs. I don't know how well they did in that coop, but
what a story.
But and I well remember I wasn't quite 6 when we came that 7 days.
That's a long trip for a 6-year-old.
My husband's parents came to this area and homesteaded in 1903. And that was the time the Murphys came, wasn't it? About 1903. Uh-huh. And They homesteaded about 3 miles from where I live now. So our family goes back quite a ways.
And you said you can see the place where you were born, yes, and where you live now.
Yes, where I was raised. And my brother lives there now. It's about 4 miles. But out in my front yard, I can see the trees.
So. Oh, there isn't any same where I was born. They, a long time ago, they did away. But so, it's good farm ground.
Haven't moved very far.
And you were born here in Hooker?
Yes.
And you said the house is still here?
Yes.
Yeah?
My folks, we lived 10 miles out, and I took the first year in high school at an unaccredited, just 8-month school, and I didn't get a credit for it. But then he bought that place there. It's just joins the Church of Christ up here, just north, and that's where I went to high school from. Mm-hmm. And then my folks had the, well, they'd paid the taxes on the vacant lot south of there. And so when we got to have the church building, my folks gave that land to, so the Church of Christ. So my church, only church home I've had. Of course, when we was out on the homestead, we just met in our homes. It was three couples from Illinois.
Well, let's fast forward to the 1930s. And in those days of depression, maybe even before the dust storms actually started, what was a typical day like in your house? You get up every morning, what would you have to do? What was the normal procedure every day?
She washed dishes and I dried.
We always had cattle.
Yes.
And so
in garden.
In the evenings, we milked. We milked the cows. And
did you have a morning too?
Dad did it in the morning.
I remember one time in the morning, we was milking about 16 cows, I think. But there's a big family of us. And I thought I'd go see how many I could milk before breakfast.
I wasn't that ambitious, Bessie, in the morning.
I didn't keep it up.
Dad always did it in the morning, but we did it in the evening because he'd be out in the field.
Yes.
We always, at our house, breakfast was an important meal, and it has always been an important meal at our house because we feel like it's a good way to start the day. And I was just thinking that the house that I was reading this journal, now this is back, but my dad and his father came out here. He mentioned two or three times, well, we went out to Liberal, and then he mentioned we went to Hooker, and then we went to Tyrone, which, you know, while they were here. And I'm going to go back and read it because he mentioned an old car I never heard of. But anyway, they did that for a couple of years, and then he wrote, we closed the deal.
Well, then that's when he bought the homestead.
And he talked about Mr. McNarney. And so then when I was 9 months old, they brought everything they had and came out. But in the meantime, I'm sure he had built this
granary
that we lived in and until they built the house. And we all lived in the house that they built all of our lives.
In fact, that's before I was married. The house
where they built. Well, I was too.
Well, yeah, we both had home weddings.
We both had home weddings out in the front
house
yard.
Where you were
born and raised. Where we lived all of our lives.
And then you were married and then you moved...
4 miles.
4 miles away.
I'm a little farther away. But anyway, Mildred and I both, we go to the same church, so we see each other once a week, and she plays the piano and I play the organ for church all the time. But the Dust Bowl days, I was, first I remember 27 when they had the crash, the stock market crash.
I remember.
And I just remember how panicked people were. And people talk now about being, you know, so poor, but we didn't ever consider ourselves poor because everybody else was the same boat except the bankers. I remember
the crash was in 29.
It wasn't 29, but I remember.
But things started in 27.
But, and, you know, and about that time wheat was 28.9 cents a bushel.
So 25 seemed like.
Yeah, one time it was.
And Milo, 25, 100.
And a dozen eggs didn't bring a dime, maybe?
I think it mentions in this little book that I gave you, it was about 15 cents.
So well, then...
About storms, you all remember the one in March 1723.
Oh, yes. Black.
That was the black.
In
that was the first.
It was in March.
March
23.
Yeah, 23 Julie, my sister, the baby, you know.
I think that was the time that we were in the cellar and we heard this noise.
It hit about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
It was a nice day.
And
it got below zero by the Sunday morning.
Chicken strolls standing.
And that was the time we went to the cellar because that Dad had built a concrete storm cellar right by our house.
Maybe the end of the world.
We heard this strange noise that... Well, we thought maybe it was a tornado, but we looked out, and one of the guys that lived south of us had driven his mules, and they were on top of
the cellar.
So we got him off of there. And this is when Arlene's brother was killed in the tornado at Liberal.
The tornado in Liberal wasn't then.
Well,
it was in 30.
Yeah,
but it was during the Dust Bowl days.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this. March 23.
It was just a balmy afternoon.
It was a black.
We're at town and went home.
It rolled in from the north.
We beat it home. Uh-huh.
I think the picture.
You're right. But it was. They started coming fast and furious after that.
Yeah.
Especially in the 30s.
You could see it covering up things as it came. The first, that bad Sunday is the one that I remember, you know.
In April 14th, 1935.
With the rabbit drive.
Yeah. And this is the one I remember.
Uh-huh.
My husband was at the rabbit drive.
Uh-huh. We were too.
And he just had out of high school, he just had a new leather jacket. And he started running for a car, tried to find the car. He come in.
Couldn't see it.
And he ran up against a barbed wire fence and tore his jacket. And he fell down, and the rabbits crawled over him. He got all those rabbits crawling over him.
There was lots of them.
Huh. See, the rabbits thrived in that time, that kind of
years.
Yeah.
And they just ate everything. Yes. So they had rabbit drives.
First it was the coyotes, when I remember when I was small.
That's 37.
And they kind of, they killed them off, and then the rabbits came. Because they were eating the crops.
Yes, they just eat off.
I got this calendar, but
yeah.
Did you see our pictures in it?
It's
the bank. The bank.
That's the Church of Christ.
Yes,
for the
blizzard.
Let me see that picture.
Well, this is in the 50s, though.
This one was 37.
In the 50s. Here's the one in
37.
This is the one in.
And this is the blizzard of the 57.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
That's the church.
And you could not see, if you'd hold your hand like this, you couldn't see your hand.
I believe it, with that thing these, coming in.
When one of those things came in.
Ones, and that one
and
in
they came in
March
pretty regular.
23 was like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was on Saturday, and my father, we lived 10 miles out.
We had been to town.
He and the boys had come to town to get her week's supply.
Because you always went to town on Saturday
and walked the street.
Mama and we girls were home, and the younger brothers. But Mama had lots of chickens, and it come up so quick, and it just blew them and their wings out, and then it come in snow and got below zero before the next day.
Oh, that was in March it got below zero?
1923, is that what you...
Well, that's not unusual for this kind of, the panhandle.
A blizzard can come. During the Dust Bowl, or in that area, there was a school bus, remember, that got caught in one of these storms.
Some kids froze to death.
Children froze to death.
I think
that was in 31.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was either 30 or 31.
Oh, wow.
We could make a copy and send this back.
Yes, exactly.
I have some other copies of that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I had heard people talk about rabbit drives, and I've heard people talk about Black Sunday, but I never heard of a rabbit drive on Black Sunday.
Yes, it was.
So that's kind of
and
a new one.
It was so funny because... Ray's mother and some of the other people thought God was punishing them for doing that on Sunday.
Well, I was there, and she was, my baby was a year old, but I had her in my arms and I couldn't see her.
Uh-huh. Betty, that was up in northwest of Tyrone.
It was west of our house.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, right out in our area.
Right there, south of your place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. But
I didn't know how they do it. They all line up in a big, long line, and they had clubs, and they drive them into a fence.
It was brutal.
A netting fence, so they could get through.
But then they were eating all of the crops.
It was pretty dangerous because they could hit other people.
Yeah.
And then they would haul these rabbits off. Somebody bought them, didn't they?
I think they used them for dog food or something.
Daddy hung them in the chicken house, and the chickens would clean them to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yes.
I had anything else to eat.
Now, at that particular Sunday, I had gone with someone to a polo game down here at Hooker. when we saw that coming, we started home. Well, we didn't get home, but we stopped at the first house that we came to.
Is because that the Montana?
And went in their house. They weren't at home, but we went in there anyway just to get out of the storm.
I think HF, we were dating, but we were home.
Well,
and glad to be.
Yeah.
You got more pictures to show us?
That's my husband and me in 1923, I believe. And that's our first son. That's the first garden I had.
That is some kind of garden. Look at those.
But did
you grow these or just buy them to sit around?
I grew them right back here. But
everybody had a garden then.
You bet.
We bought the land in January before he was born in May, and the sand was piled up in the fruit trees and the grape arbor until. And so he had to use horses, and we were farming with horses then and mules. And he used a Fresno and scooped it around, you know, finally and got leveled. I couldn't have a garden until he was 2 years old.
There's still some fence rows that are piled up from back in those days.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah.
My husband would tell about how they'd build fences. And the next day they'd come out and it'd be blew out.
Covered up
covered up. Uh-huh. And then they'd have to build another fence on top of that.
Right
and
here.
Then the both fences
that
would be built
back.
Huh.
Okay.
Can you see them?
The well.
You know where they're at.
The stock tank.
When we first were married, we spent lots of time digging the fences.
And the stock tanks there.
Huh.
We had
now a lot of people like that
well.
to get a load of that sand.
Siphon water out of
this topsoil.
Yeah.
Irrigating the garden.
In those banks in the wintertime when it would snow and freeze, that made nice places to ride your bicycle or have a horse pull you on
a sled.
Yeah. Well, our sled was the hood of a car that the horse pulled.
Mine was a wash machine lid.
Had you seen the picture in the
garden? My folks never had a tractor. We never owned a tractor.
No.
Did all the farming with horses.
I remember the day John Deere came out to put rubber tires on the track, show how rubber tires would pull better than the lugs on them.
Really good.
They used to didn't have rubber on their tires.
Lugs.
They just had lugs. And
the first tractor he
got. Do you know what a lug is?
I guess it is.
It was iron, and they were about this wide, and they
had a point.
Were like this.
Okay.
Around
rough,
the wheel.
Rough.
Okay,
that's
I see.
They used to start them with a wheel on the side, and they'd have to go just like, you know.
I think that was called the arm breaker.
It was.
For a good reason, I guess.
Yes. But the first tractor we got was when she was a year old, and her daddy wanted a picture of Ernest and she, and had him sitting on the hood of the car. And when we got the picture back, he said, I did get it in there. He'd kept moving around. He wanted to get that tractor in the background. That was his first tractor.
He's being sneaky.
I've noticed some of my old family pictures, especially HF's parents. They, about once a year, evidently, they lined everything they had up outside and had a picture. And
really?
It, like the windmill and maybe the horse and then them and whatever child was in the high chair and vehicle. Out on their homestead.
Okay.
But, they are.
Wagon.
So
it's there by that.
You said that your family didn't have a tractor and you used horses. Did you ever drive the team in the field?
No, see, I was just about six. It was more the Dust
She's
Bowl.
She's younger than we are.
The Dust Bowl was more of an inconvenience for me. I like to play the organ, and we lived in kind of one room or two rooms. And
on this
shut
side,
up
us.
Front room. And the organ was in there, and I would go in there and try to get all that dust off. And my grandmother was always saying, Betty, don't make
paper.
So much dust. Don't get the dust off for that. But I wanted to play the organ, and that was it's more of an inconvenience for me. I didn't worry about the money because we never went to town much, and I had more trouble going to school. I had to go to different places to school. Liberal.
Yeah,
I came here 1 year, Tyrone, and... But other than that, I had a good time. Catching tadpoles.
The year I graduated from high school, Thelma was a freshman at Panhandle State, and she had a job also working at school, but there wasn't enough money for both of us to go. And Dad said, well, if you'll help me, well, maybe next year you can go to college. And so that fall, we did have a Milo crop, and we used the horses and the wagon, and mm-hmm. I helped him hand pick maize.
Well, I've picked maize too.
And that's not an easy job. No.
I couldn't ever hit the wagon.
You developed a very good arm.
Yeah. So how does it work? You have to pick it.
You have a good sharp knife.
That's curved like this. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They call it hook nose.
And the Milo then had a crooked neck.
Okay.
And so it would catch on your glove.
And you'd grab a hold of the head and whack it off and get three or four heads of in the may and then wham it at the barge.
Our first crop in 25.
So I did that the year I graduated from high school.
Our first crop was in 25, and we had a few acres of Milo, and wind come from the north and
took it all in.
Put half of it down, and the next time it's come from the south and put it down across. This is mainly what I...
What is Pioneer Queen?
For Pioneer Day at Gaiman.
At Gaiman.
They celebrate.
You all would enjoy coming to that. And they have a coffee early in the morning for old-timers.
Yeah.
That would be a place where you could pick up some information.
Yeah, I could stick our recorder out there.
It's the first Saturday.
Fourth of May this year, I guess. Queen's Luncheon is the second.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was going to mention was... how we put tape around all of our windows to keep the dust out, and always set the table with the plates upside down.
Over the silverware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And
stuffed your eggs in the windows. Didn't
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When she went over the windows.
Our houses really weren't that tight.
Static. I was thinking about this. Our folks always saw that we did everything. Mm-hmm. We played basketball all the time, and I remember especially one day Dad came after us, mm-hmm. and on the way home, the static electricity was so bad, well, you could just see about this far in front of the radiator, and the car just died. So we just had to sit there a while till it kind of...
Charge went out of
the and then it would start again.
Generated so much electricity.
Yeah. Well, no. I guess you get used to it.
It wasn't the first time it happened. It was an inconvenience, Betty.
So they learned how to.
You just learned how to cope.
Down,
Oh, you drug a chain behind your car, and that kind of got rid of that. I remember.
You can see the sparks. You can see the sparks.
Of course, we didn't have paved roads either.
You never cranked your car?
No.
No, I think we had a starter.
I remember the Stevenses had one.
Yeah.
Well, my dad did.
Sure.
But, well, we didn't have a car till 1915, and lived way out in the country to go to town.
Oh, yeah.
Go any place in a wagon, but to put comforts down in the wagon,
bricks.
The kids would sit on them.
I hated herding the cows more than anything in ditches where the weeds would grow. And we ate, what was it?
Lamb's quarters.
That makes my teeth go on edge.
Sandy.
Well, some of them canned Russian thistles.
We didn't go that far.
Well, WPA gave us meat, too. We had meat and prunes.
Did you? Took care of both situations.
Yeah. You're trying to tell us a story. I can tell it there.
Well, talking about the bad 30 years, I remember I went to a one-room schoolhouse. And there's one girl there that could come to school with a bologna sandwich, and I had a steak sandwich or a sausage sandwich, and I traded with her every once in a while because I thought that was great to have a bologna sandwich.
You had homegrown meat.
I had homegrown meat. She liked the steak, too.
On that line, my grandmother, we lived a fourth of a mile from the neighbors, and I liked to go up there and play with that girl at the Smiths. And my grandmother always had meat and good gravy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they had made white gravy, just flour and milk, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I liked it better than I did Grandma's.
Okay.
I could understand why I always liked to go up there for their gravy.
What was your favorite food? What was the favorite thing? It would be like a real treat food.
Well, I think probably the first fried chicken every spring.
Yeah.
You know, after they was ready.
Mm-hmm. And the new potatoes.
Yes. And if you didn't get your potatoes planted by March the 17th, it was terrible.
Yeah, it wouldn't do it.
Disgrace, wasn't it?
Yes, we always planted potatoes.
I remember my little brother saying, Mama, raise a garden. He said he knew that the peas were coming along. He said, we can soon say, pass the peas.
One thing about it, I don't think that we ever, out in the country, I don't think we ever realized how hungry some people were going.
Because
I always think about a story that the lady that owned the bakery in Tyrone was telling us, a few years ago she had lunch with us at my house, and she was telling about a family that lived in Tyrone. I think there were 5 youngsters in the family, and the mother and dad, and this particular lady, Mary Acton, she owned the bakery. And she said she made it a policy in the 30s. At the end of the day, she sacked up all the food that was left on the counter, the bread, mm-hmm. and if there were cookies or bowls, well, she'd sack it up. And she had sent word to I think she said there were 4 different families in Tyrone to send a child by every evening so she could give them the leftover bread. And she said this particular evening, this little boy come a-bouncing in, and he says, "I'll tell you, Ms. Acton, this has been the best day." And she said, "Well, just tell me about it." And he said, "Well, this morning when I was going to school, the coal train had came in, and they were unloading coal, and they dropped several chunks of coal along the railroad track. And he says, I run home and got a bucket, and I got enough coal to keep us warm for a few days. Mm-hmm. And when I was coming home this evening, Wes said they were unloading potatoes, and they broke a sack. And said, there are several big potatoes laying along the rail, and I picked them up. And says, and now you've got some bread for us. And says, we've got coal, and we've got potatoes, and we've got bread, and it's been a good day." And what's nice about this boy, he is a retired Baptist minister now living in California.
Great person.
You know who it is, don't you?
Training him from the start.
Yes. Uh-huh. And Mary, we couldn't ought to keep from crying.
Yeah.
but I can just see Deck. He was a cute little kid, and he said it really had been a good day.
Good day.
And this
for
was
him.
In the 30s. Huh. But we never did. I guess we didn't know we were supposed to be hungry.
Yeah.
We weren't, because we had our meat.
Oh, yes, we had our own meat and our garden.
We had eggs and milk and garden.
So that was it.
My sister raised a garden, and one time she took a lot of lettuce, and she had to take it in to her brother-in-law's, uh-huh. and that's all they had was just bread and that wilted lettuce. Uh-huh. They would wilt the lettuce.
Uh-huh. So,
but we ate jackrabbits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It was good.
Dutch onion?
Yeah.
I liked them.
Well, in the spring.
People would have what they call rabbit fries and used a big Dutch oven.
Uh-huh.
And remember Paul Cherry?
Yes.
This was such a good cook, and he would cook it a lot, and they would build a fire outdoors and cook this outside, and it was just crispy and good.
Sounds like sort of a community event.
It was.
Yeah.
And so were butcherings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad.
I remember the butcherings.
Yes. Uh-huh. Because several families would get together and butcher their hogs. And some would render the lard, and some would cut it. And Dad always did all of that stuff, but he also seasoned it because mm-hmm. they'd cut it and cure it, put it in our cellar.
I think everybody did that, don't you, Bessie?
I think so. But like... my oldest grandson has this big hog mm-hmm. operation here now with 100 sows that farrow twice a year. Mm-hmm. And he's bred them up to where he gets champions all over the...
Hmm. I don't think pork tastes as good now as it used to, though.
Well, what I was going to say, when all of them butchered the neighbors together, they'd boast when they got the lard rendered who had the most lard.
Yeah. And Dad mentioned taking his and selling part of it because that was made of
more than you could use.
Mm-hmm. No refrigeration.
No.
It had to be.
Well, that's how we sealed when we cooked the pork. We seal it with lard, uh-huh. and it was like it was canned in big crocks.
Fry the sausage down mm-hmm. while it was fresh, uh-huh. and then pour lard over it in a stone jar.
I often think about the year that HF and I were married. We were married in 1937. And all of our income, he was in farming with his dad, but we didn't have any crops. So really our weekly income was our cream check.
Eggs.
We just getting married, we didn't have any eggs.
No, not yet.
And that was about $8 a week.
Well, I remember the first winter we were married, we had some cows to milk, and on Saturday or on Friday night, we'd churn the cream and make butter and bring it to town to buy some groceries with.
And that was about it.
The first
and some eggs.
The first year I went to college, I had $1 spending a week, $1 for spending.
So what did you do for fun on $1 a week?
Well, you can do a lot with $1.
Nobody had a car. You know, there was just one car from Tyrone that went to school. So I don't know. We just didn't know. We weren't having a good time. We had a good time.
So what were you doing?
Well, I was in the acapella choir and in a quartet, and so we got to go on trips, and we liked each other. We all had a good time.
Didn't have to go.
I don't know whether I ought to tell this or not, Bella.
Well, maybe you better.
Yeah.
This must be a good one.
When we were kids, one day Dad gave since Bella was the oldest, he gave her a dime. He says, "Now be sure and give Mildred a nickel of this." Well, she put it in her mouth and swung at school and swallowed it. So guess who never got her nickel?
You didn't go looking for that.
She didn't get it either.
And they still get along sitting close together.
Well, sure, we love each other.
Yeah, we're going to do this fall. We have two trips planned.
Yes, we do.
We're going steamboating, paddle wheel boating.
Of course, I'm 15 years older than Geneva, but
what's your other trip?
Up to New York.
We're going to New England Foliage.
New England Foliage.
Wow.
So,
and we've been to England and Scotland.
So we have a good time.
What about you other guys? Not waiting for nickels, I guess.
Maybe I won't push you.
Well, I remember they had penny ribbon you could buy, penny a yard. Uh-huh. And I had a penny to spend to buy a ribbon to make my doll clothes.
Yeah.
And some other girl got that ribbon. And I told Mama I was sad about it, and she said, well, she explained to me that she shouldn't have stolen it and all. Mm-hmm. But I resigned myself that I didn't have that yard of penny ribbon for my doll clothes.
And isn't it odd now a child won't even pick a penny up if they see it on the street?
It's not worth it.
It won't matter.
I still do
that. I do too. I pick up everything I see.
See a penny, pick it up all day long. Have good luck.
That's exactly right.
We used to go to town on Saturday. That was our one day.
Sure.
And we'd park on a vacant lot, and people would come by and visit my grandmother. And they had a bakery right behind us, and they had a restaurant right beside us. And you'd get hamburgers for a dime, and a Coke or a grape pop for a nickel. And the bread was, it wasn't sliced.
No.
So my dad would get a loaf of that bread, and then we'd go home at night, and he'd milk the old cow and have hot milk in that bread.
Mm.
Well, that sounds good now, doesn't it?
No.
Well, but our refrigerator was
water trough?
A water trough. Uh-huh. And the well, so and we put the milk in. But sometimes in August, it'd be quiet, there wouldn't be any wet, fresh water pumped, and our morning's milk would be sour by evening.
I remember the great big old whiskey barrel, not cut in two, where the windmill.
Yes.
And we'd hang out jars of milk. Yes. That was in the dirty 30s.
Mm-hmm. Before we got welded it himself, I guess, or soldered it, a trough. It was just the right size to set our milk containers in. And run out of our water barrel into that, and then on out to the stock tanks.
Yeah. It was too far out in the country to have a ice man come by and bring ice or anything, so we didn't have the ice boxes.
I don't guess we ever did.
The stock tank shows in this picture.
One of my mother's sisters had this strange thing that she could make ice. It had two big, you remember, Aunt Libby?
Yes.
Two things like this that, I don't know what they had, but she would heat one of them.
A coil.
And it had a coil up to the other one. Mm-hmm. And she would heat this one, and then she would put it, and it made ice some way. Now, I have no idea what it was, but I remember they lived on a ranch south of Protection, Kansas. I don't know if you were there, but anyway.
Oh, we got a kerosene burner.
Yes, Surveil.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was our first refrigerator that made ice.
Before we ever had a refrigerator, she had
that.
And I don't know what it was.
Strange device.
It was. It just had a little...
It was a forerunner of the refrigerator.
It went from the hot to the cold.
Do you all remember getting your first refrigerator?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it was hot.
I was married.
Yeah. That was us, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure.
It was a highlight. Several years about 38, old, 9.
And the first one we had was, we had a burner. Once in a while, if it wasn't quite right, it'd smoke up the house.
I remember H.F.'s dad, he was rather frugal, and he thought that was being extravagant, was to buy this. Of course, we bought it to keep our oldest child's milk cold.
Yeah.
And he thought it the first time we were kind of splurging. But we got it anyway. Surveil.
And we had carbide lights. Have you ever heard of those?
Well, yeah. Did you have a big
tank outside? Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when we had our house wired, they used those old carbide lines to run the conduit in.
Yes.
So. You know, how often would you have to charge up that big tank? Do you know how?
Carbide.
Oh.
With carbide.
You know,
we didn't
even
have one.
When I first lived there, I was just a young bride, and so I didn't pay much attention. I don't know. Because it was a big tank, and it sat down in the ground about like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it would last, I guess, 3 or 4 months. I really don't know.
Yeah. You said you had that, too?
No, Grandpa and Grandma
Yeah,
had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you dropped water in it. Didn't
first
water...
The electric lights we had was a 6-volt wind charger.
Yes, we had that, too.
Yeah.
And then we got to 32 before we got... It was in 1950 before we got rural electric.
Yeah.
I think my thing that when they came through... Of course, they were coming to Baker's, the reason I got electricity. I think it was in the early 40s.
Well, it was 50 time they got it out northwest of Hooker.
See, they had to go up by our house to get to Baker. So I got modernized earlier.
That carbide, whenever it was used, it dried, and us kids had used it to
For
our
chalk.
Grandma's cellar door with like chalk.
But it made kind of pretty good light.
Yes,
yes.
A lot better than the coal oil lamp.
Or the Aladdin lamp. How many of you smoked your house with an Aladdin lamp?
I hated those things.
But
I felt bad when ours were stolen. We had them stored in the back porch, and someone, because they were pretty lamps, pretty lamps. But somebody came in on our back porch and stole them.
If we had homework to do, we needed to do it before it got dark.
Yes, that's right.
So you could see what you were doing, huh?
Just a little coal oil number two burner.
That'll make much of a light.
By the table.
What's an Aladdin lamp? Is it one that
has a mantle?
It had a mantle.
And then
gas.
When I was there, the first time I remember playing basketball at Optima, they had gasoline lamps hanging up in the top of the this old Barney gym for the light.
That was
a fire hazard.
We still got a gas lantern in there.
Coleman.
Coleman.
I had a gas stove. Gasoline stove. Yes. It was dangerous, though, when we first married.
We had an old kerosene one.
Yes, I had a kerosene, too.
You always hear of buildings catching on fire back then, and now you know why.
Yes, sir.
In this journal I was reading, every once in a while he'd say, well, somebody stole a burner last night, or, several fires.
Yeah.
Buildings.
I also remember back in the 30s of, this would have been in the 30s, we had a barn burner. I mean, there was people
burning. Somebody was burning barns.
They burned our barns. And we thought later, in fact,
our barn burned.
And I think there were about 8 barns within about a 2-week area. And we decided later on, they said it was because the Ku Klux Klan was trying to come in, and most of the people would not go with the Ku Klux Klan.
Did you remember anything about the Ku Klux here in Hooker?
I remember when Dad came home one day and he said, says they were after me to join again today, and I told him no, and it wasn't very long until our barn was burned.
Huh. 7 or 8 years old.
This was in the late point. Bob was a baby. Bob was a baby.
And
he's 8 years younger than I am, so it was about 30.
I think I was probably, I wasn't in high school yet.
Because we had just came home from a school function.
I'd always heard that about the Ku Klux Klan, but I didn't believe it.
But Dad, I remember him coming home, and he said, and our barn and Laswell's and Myers, and there was about 8 of them, and they were all big barns.
Great, big, nice barns.
Yeah.
2-story barns.
And then the Oddfellas came back in, and we have pictures of them helping rebuilding it.
They rebuilt it in about... real quick. A
couple weeks, because it isn't necessary to have a barn for your hay and your cattle.
Huh.
For the kids to jump out of the loft.
But that happened. Yeah.
What have you got you're holding on to over there?
It's a letter written.
Oh, my.
Wow.
In 1872. My father was born in Winfield, Kansas. They had come there to Winfield, Kansas, and his father was killing a buffalo for the... They was building a railroad.
That's a really preserved thing.
And,
that's interesting.
Well, this is my father and mother when they were married.
But how nice
in 60, in 1898.
This is your dad, a letter from your father?
From my grandfather when he was born.
Okay.
And he was born in June 17th, 1872 at Winfield, Kansas. And my grandmother and grandfather both wrote this letter.
So this is a letter from your grandfather and grandmother telling
that he was born.
His parents that they had a kid. Mm-hmm. That you're... Okay.
In there he says that he thinks that the women have been eating too much buffalo meat because they've been having a lot of babies.
Oh my goodness.
Well, no, tell you what. Yeah. I have it in a history book that somebody...
The way the mail was, though, sometimes the youngsters are a month old before the other family heard about it.
They got it, yeah. So, what about, speaking of getting mail, what about people who left Hooker whenever the dust storms got bad and crops were bad, and they left and went to California or wherever? Did you know anybody personally that left?
My husband was, and his family moved to California then. And when they got, they took what they could. And when they got to California, the mattress on top of their car, they wouldn't let them take it in. They had to leave it, and that was the only mattress they had with them.
They think bring some germs to them.
Yeah,
I don't think that was anybody around us.
We stuck it out.
Oh, that's right. Prudence, it was a family.
A family that lived just about a mile or two from Ray's house, where
west of Tyrone.
Yeah.
That family went. And Prudence.
Charles and
the white
Mary
sheep
and
behind the.
That was when we were in high school, wasn't it?
Mama's white dress.
I graduated from eighth grade, and then we moved before we graduated from high school.
But otherwise, I don't think there were very many as far as our immediate area.
Yeah.
And some of the Coateses went.
Yes, I think.
Did you keep in contact with those people?
They come back once in a while to alumni and things like that.
They come back from California?
They used to.
I don't know whether any of them are still alive now or not.
Well, my husband's parents came back after...
But they just came back to visit the Pruitts.
Yes, they didn't come back.
Although these were the Witzkies that came back.
Are they the liberal Witzkies?
Yes, first cousin.
Okay.
I know.
Because I see their name in the paper quite often.
There was a whole bunch of Witzkies from around Turpin.
Don't you think the reason a lot of them didn't leave is they couldn't leave? They couldn't leave.
They didn't have money to go.
My folks filed on their land, and they didn't want to just have to leave. And we didn't have the money to.
Never mentioned it. We didn't want to leave.
Our 28 Dodge wouldn't have got us very far.
We knew it would rain sometime.
Well, as I said, we just toughed it out. But it was in August 33, it had been a dry year, and my mother's aunt... were moving to Missouri, and my husband fixed a car chassis and fixed a bed on it, and we took her things to Missouri, close to Springfield. We left here on Saturday morning. It was showering a little, and it was a welcome. We hadn't had enough rain, and it took us a day to go down there.
Well, you were speeding.
Well, I feel sure we drove through.
Well,
we left early in the morning.
Sure.
But then, and we went and visited an uncle and aunt and just over the line into Arkansas. And we were gone a week. Well, we had that empty trailer, and we went to Arkansas and got it full of apples.
Sure.
That was in the last of August. And when we got home, it had come 12 inches of rain on our farm.
Oh, boy.
That day, and we left the neighbors to look after things, and we had hogs. Well, Sal had a bunch of pigs on the 4th of July, and she quit giving milk, so I fed those pigs by hand, cow milk.
With the bottle?
No, they had to drink out of a pan.
Okay.
And I saved most of them, and... But the bigger hogs were in a pen, and the water got 8 inches deep in the house. Our house was the lowest spot all around.
Oh, man.
After that, Daddy got John Deere blocks and
jacked the house up
and put those John Deere blocks. I don't remember how many he had to get.
Well, it was a 28 by 28 house.
What do you mean by John Deere blocks? What were they?
Well, what the pistons are in and the motor of the John Deere motor.
About that tall.
And then later, when he could afford it, put a foundation under it.
Well, they were solid.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it did.
But, do you remember when it started raining? How we all run out and
stuck our head up there. It's like a bunch of birds.
Like crazy.
It wasn't stormy. But this was a cloudburst that Allen's.
Well, it had to be.
Yes. And it fell in an hour or so.
Right? Too fast.
But the big hogs were in the fence. We had a hog wire fence. And the neighbors that was looking after things, they cut the wire so those hogs, mm-hmm. they couldn't swim.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Had to cut. And these pigs that I had fed by hand, they was up around the house. Well, we had grouping boards in the chicken house, and they were floating up, you know. But those pigs had got on, well, our back step to the house was fastened to the house, and it flowed up, you know. And those pigs saved every one of those pigs in that flood. And that was in '33 when the Dust Bowl.
As truth be known, it probably didn't rain 5 miles from there.
Not very much anyway.
That's probably right.
We see the clouds rolling in, we think, oh, we're going to have rain. No rain.
That's right.
Well, sometimes it'd there'd be clouds overhead and it's thunder and lightning, you know, and there wasn't any rain.
That's right.
Daddy built us a shower on the south side of the well house, which was against away from the road where you couldn't see.
You could hide when you took your bath.
And put a big old oil drum thing and filled it full of water. We could do that with a hose. And long toward evening, it'd be good and warm. And then we had a bucket with holes in it, and we'd go out there and take a shower.
Hang it on.
I always remember, this would have been in the 20s, when we still had a coal stove. I mean, a range. And since Thelma and I were the oldest, we always got to take the bath first in the tub behind the stove, and then the boys later because they were dirtier.
Yeah.
I always got to
use the same water.
And nowadays they wouldn't
turn up their nose.
A few years ago, my one grandson spent the summer with me, and I couldn't understand why my electric bill was so high.
That's
right.
And so they asked me if I'd had company. I said, yes, I'd had a grandson. She said, did he like to shower? I said, continually. And that made my electric bill go up.
It was a Saturday night ritual. Taking a bath
in the
old
round tub behind the stove.
One time we got the itch. It was after my kids were born. 5 kids and we got the itch. And I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Colley said, don't feel bad about that. I had it 3 times when I was in the service. But we had to take baths and then put stuff on. Then that night we'd have to take baths again to get it all off.
Uh-huh.
If that wasn't a chore.
Uh-huh. Did you know which kid brought the itch home?
No, I don't even know where it came from. Bruce didn't get it, but the kids and I did.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they get it. Had to work all the cushion and everything.
No, when I taught, it was a ritual that the kids had to lay their hands out like this.
Uh-huh.
You know, in case somebody had it, then we could treat them before they gave it to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell by looking at the hands?
Hmm. They got right in here first.
It was when I was in grade school.
Uh-huh. But that's where you usually get it first.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. Well, I know we crossed the railroad tracks when we came in, and I wondered if any of you remembered any tramps or hobos riding the streets and stopped by.
Coming to our door.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we generally see them coming about a half a mile before they got there.
Yeah.
And Mother would feed them sometimes, you know.
Did you ever have them do any work around the farm?
Yes, they did.
I don't think so.
Help fix fence or chop wood.
But you know, Hooker had it a law that black people couldn't.
Oh, yes. So did Goodwill.
It's probably still on the books. Can't stay overnight.
Well, there's population. Did you see the Hooker paper giving the population a few weeks ago? And I believe it said there was 3 or 4 black ones here now.
Well, the black families lived in Tyrone for a long time.
That's fine.
Uh-huh. And there's several Spanish. And, of course, mm-hmm. I read in the Guyman paper that there was 2,100 school children in Guyman, I believe, and there's 1,000 of them Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about gypsies?
Yes.
Do you have gypsies?
Yes.
They used to.
Me about when I'd go to town. To
especially
watch
the stores.
For the gypsies.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing...
What did they look like?
Oh,
usually had longer hair.
Kind of like the pictures that you see.
Colorful.
Yes, very colorful.
And big sashes on.
Lots of big touring cars. Ray said that when he graduated from Hooker, and he said that one time they knew they were coming, so they got high school kids to go down and be in all the stores so they could keep an eye out because they pickpocket. I mean, they just stole stuff.
They say that some of these people that come through you even now. There goes another shingle.
We're on a little mini Death Star today.
Descendants of the gypsies, and they come through and offer to blacktop your driveways and also to do other things, you know. And they say that they're
organized.
Mm-hmm. I had one just the other day that he drove in and he wanted to blacktop my driveway, and he said that they had ordered out 180 tons of asphalt for Guymon. I said, well, you're about 35 miles from Guymon. You should have used the rest of it down there. Said they just used 120 tons. And I said, well, you should have used the rest of it down there instead of coming clear up here.
I get calls so much of the time wanting to have double windows or brick on the house.
You were talking about people riding the trains. Mm-hmm. When Ray graduated from high school, about the first or second year he was out of high school, he and a friend rode the trains to the World's Fair at Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the early 30s.
You know,
wow.
Because everybody rode the trains.
In the boxcar.
And he said that the bums that rode it all the time would tell you when they'd stop, said, now, get off here because the cops will be up, you know, in a block or two. And then catch it and walk, and you can catch it on the other side of this town. And they'd also tell them where they could find a cow that they could milk, or who had a garden.
That's why you could have a good time on the dollar.
And then I still have a letter that he wrote to his mom, telling her that they were staying at a hotel, and it was right over the trolley tracks. The trolley went by their window, and what they could get there, a whole breakfast for a dollar. They could get eggs and coffee and bacon and, you know.
Well, didn't he and somebody also go to California that way?
Well, and he worked in California,
too. I was thinking
too,
that he did.
Two or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. What did he do in California?
Mainly, he worked at a chicken ranch.
Yeah.
And they sold eggs all over the world. It was a...
That's what my father-in-law did when they went to California. They worked at a dairy.
Mm-hmm. And he also worked at a sugar place, and he hated that because it was so hot that what he had to do was just awful. So he didn't like that at all.
Had a flock of White Rock chickens and sold eggs for a hatchery at garden at Dodge City. They'd come to Hooker once a week, and I'd have to take care of them. And that's my oldest son said he learned to count by counting eggs.
Do you remember the medicine shows we used to love to go and sit on benches out?
And the Chautauquas.
Yeah.
Chautauquas were great.
Right.
What kind of products were they advertising as a medicine show?
Liniment, mostly. Was,
and then, it was all the pains that you had.
I was going to say, I'm sure everything you got wrong with you.
And, some things you don't even know.
Well, some of it was to take by mouth and some to rub on, too.
And circuses. The circus would get off in Liberal and... at the train station, and they go clear to the north end of
Calliope.
And they'd, and
the Calliope.
Yeah, and the elephants and the tigers. Mm-hmm. That was always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have to get up real early to be up there, though.
Well, sure.
And lots of times we'd just go to town to watch people get off the train.
Yeah.
That was our entertainment.
Yeah.
One time, Newt Rotney with his football team came through and stopped at Liberal, so Tyrone let school out so they could go up there and just see that.
And I remember one time in 28 or 7, why we let school out so we could go up because Mr. and Ms. Hoover were going to have a train stop there.
And didn't President Roosevelt?
I don't remember him, but I know that we got to go up and see.
Somebody said, well, I went to
Mr.
see
Ms. Hoover.
Roosevelt.
Oh. And out on the back of the...
That
was the way they used to campaign, was... by passenger train, and they'd stop at all these places and come out on the back, and all you'd see them because it didn't have loudspeakers.
They'd have circuses unload, and and Rowena and I took our boys up when we'd gotten a movie camera and to unload the circus at Liberal, and I took pictures of them unloading the elephants and all. And when we got the movie back to look at it, those elephants were working upside down. I had the camera upside down.
Oh, no.
Those elephants was hanging from the set.
Took pictures anyway.
That's a whole new show.
But then they had gotten all different. That's when their children were.
I remember going up to the circus, too.
And then they had all those different rolls of movies put in one.
Uh-huh.
And who did that? They turned those elephants to
they
where they were
helping you, I guess, and turned them back upside.
And of course, it looked more natural, but it still wasn't altogether right with those. But it was so funny to see those elephants just moving around, just hanging from the ceiling.
My grandfather, on my dad's side, he was a Republican, staunch Republican forever. And the 28th, he went to Washington, and I don't know what he was campaigning for, but anyway, he liked Mr. Hoover. And so he and some people, and I have pictures of them on the Capitol step, shaking hands with somebody. I don't know.
My grandkids can't understand why Roosevelt was my favorite president. But I said, he saved our life.
He really brought us out, didn't he?
Yes,
he really did.
The president I first remembered was Roosevelt, too.
Was it?
Yeah. In 19...
In the 30s.
Well, no. He's
fire chair.
No, we had the Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, we'll remember the other.
Yeah, I was just saying, you don't remember it. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt.
When I was 5 years old, I learned to say all the presidents.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, this is my grandfather, and this chair my folks gave to him, to them on their 50th wedding anniversary. And that was a week before she was born.
Well,
wow.
So I tell her that that's her chair.
To be my chair.
Okay, you got your name on it.
I said it's had a facelift or two, so it looks better than I do.
Well, it's sort of a concluding thoughts question. How do you think that living through these times we've been talking about today has affected who you are today?
Made us stronger people.
Yeah.
Trust in God, always.
That's the main thing.
I just love it. I think it's that we've lived in the most exciting time to go from a buggy to the moon.
Talking about
more things have happened in our time than any, it seems like, in my dad's time.
I love it.
Before I was married, it's probably 1924 that my husband Spokes had a two-seated Ford. And then my sister that was 20 months older than me and his sister that was a year younger than me, they were our chaperones, I guess. They rode in the back seat. And one time we went to Tyrone after they got the road along the highway. He drove that in 10 minutes. It was 10 miles.
Oh, boy. It wasn't a paved road, was it?
No. It was a graded road.
I remember one time when we were going to the fair at Guymon, and remember, Lamberts were in front of us, and they couldn't get up the hill, so everybody had to get out and push.
I think about different things I've had the opportunity to do in my lifetime. And some of them have been exciting. Some of them have been, you know, sad.
Scary.
And all. But one thing that I really enjoyed was I was inspector of the election board at our local precinct for 50 years. And I knew every voter. And if they didn't show up to vote, we went and got them. Because I've always taken voting very seriously.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten to travel a lot, which has been just exciting. And I've got 7 grandkids and 15 great-grandkids, and I just think it's wonderful.
Doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm not, don't drive myself, I haven't voted all the time.
Well, you always vote absentee.
Well, is there anything I've left out you want to ask?
I think we've covered it.
Hit all the bases?
Yeah.
Thanks for talking with us today. I hope you've had a good time.